my understanding was, and Mr. Deal made it clear to me, he said, you know, they're not going to get on their knees and say, please
forgive
us.
Oh, he filed a motion yesterday.
Who filed? Deal?
Yeah. There's, yeah, so, they filed it on,
18th or
19th? Actually, I'm not sure. But he filed it on the 19th.
That's
so there's a lot of argument. Don't worry, nothing's happening till April 7th.
And April 7th is what?
They got a little argument in your case.
What do you mean by a little argument?
Read it more carefully. Well, print it out. We got, you know, the city is so effed up, Daniel. To save money, they use non-HP cartridges, and I get a very shitty quality.
Of all the things to save money.
Yeah, I mean, and then you get these letters, you print your letters, and to me your letter is a reflection of...
Exactly, it's your message.
Yeah, I mean, and you got streaks and everything else.
I agree with you, and you're supposed to be representing a great city.
Yeah,
you got to be Idaho, right.
Yeah, so it just annoys me. Number one, this is not a very practical printer, but... You can't spend the extra $10 to get an HP cartridge.
Now, can I? When you say they're going to argue my case on April 7th, what do you?
Here, I'll print it off, because that's how we roll in the film district.
Thank you. What are the borders of the Fillmore district?
Oh God! You see that?
Oh,
oh my!
Look at you, Jerry and Mander.
You know some of the wealthiest areas. The wealthiest areas and some of the poorest.
They are a recipe for suicide.
Okay.
Some of the wealthiest and some of the poorest.
Well, the worst thing, and if you saw how these things were really drawn up, you well.
Oh no, I, you know, over the years, I've had enough. I mean, you don't know me, and I don't mean to be a name dropper because you don't know me. I would say the same thing if it was a wonderful chambermaid or it was a cabinet secretary. I would say it the same way. I had, as a friend in a small way, 30 years ago, Herbert Brownell. Do you remember who that was?
Mm-hmm.
He was Eisenhower's attorney general.
Okay.
And I used to see him, and he enjoyed talking to me. You know, smart young man about art, okay? And we would have a drink at the Algonquin Hotel in New York once in a while.
Okay.
And every once in a while, without telling me any state secrets he shouldn't, or without embarrassing anyone's reputation, if he had something really juicy to tell me, he wouldn't tell me the exact person involved. But he would tell me stories about, you know, here you think of government was run so much more efficiently in the 50s than it is today, and by that meant the 80s. Of course, it was smaller. Mike was at the helm, and he had some very intelligent managers that were in the administration and so on. And the things that went on even then would curl, and that's the expression he used, would curl your hair.
Okay.
And he said, it's only so much worse now.
Yeah, here we are. So,
he filed to be relieved as counsel.
Yeah, so it says, motion to withdraw as attorney by Michael Deal. Text order, oral argument on, set for March, April 7th, 10 a.m. Here.
Now, when I left my message, thank you for Judge Schrader, I said, I'm sorry, I don't mean for this to be an inappropriate request if I'm saying something I ought not, forgive me. But I said the last time...
Okay, here, I'm going to read.
Okay.
Okay, on December 5th, 2013, I was appointed to represent the defendant. During the course of this extensive representation, which has included numerous pleadings and hearings, okay, we're supposed to meet with Hochul, and he says on the afternoon of March 19th. In the late afternoon of March 17th, I was provided written communication by and from Mr. W., which I read in the early business hours the next morning, March 18th. Based on this communication and its conspicuous timing vis-a-vis the meeting with the U.S. Attorney, it's very clear and evident that the interest of Mr. W. and my own as counsel have been placed squarely in conflict with each other, so much so that I can no longer represent them. 6, that the circumstances necessarily entail privileged communications, I cannot reveal them absent a court order or a waiver from Mr. W. Accordingly, I cannot set forth the factual details for this motion within this declaration.
Now,
given the timing of the events, on March 18th, I advised Assistant U.S. Attorney DiGiacomo, who was handling this matter on behalf of the government, that this motion would be filed, and asked that the previous scheduled meeting be
filed.
Yes,
on the 18th?
Yeah.
The 18th was Wednesday. I'm so sorry. Yeah, not Tuesday. Sorry.
Okay, so he asked that the meeting be put off until the matter of Mr. W.'s representation could be addressed.
Now,
respectfully, I ask that for these reasons, I seek permission to withdraw as counsel for Mr. W., and as he remains indigent, that another attorney be appointed to represent him. Additionally, briefs on the evidentiary hearing held this matter are due on April 1st, and a reply to the government's response to Mr. W.'s objection to the report and recommendation regarding the motion for reconsideration are due on March 26th. Okay, so he wants everything stated to get new representation.
And April
7th. Getting a trial in Erie County Court on Monday. It's going to last 2 weeks. So he doesn't want anything until after April 6th. So this is your response.
So this is a court, but we're going to court on April 7th?
Yep.
Okay.
It's on that sheet.
Okay, and so I'm supposed to go there and...
We serve everyone, including non-constituents.
Thank you. Because the Fillmore District doesn't include Summit and Richmond.
Oh, that's either Niagara or North.
Sorry. Okay.
Well, so anyway, we don't discriminate.
Thank you. So,
this is Jacqueline Sainsbury.
The pretrial services.
Yeah. So we.
I knew what the answer is, in a sense, what I mean is, I don't know...
He should have told you. He should have, as a courtesy, even if he didn't want to talk to you, said, it closes the motion I filed today. But he's a dick.
Okay. Well, can I please tell you the only two things this could be about? Yeah. I mean, with any legitimacy, all right? Imagine
whether you're like not top secret.
Okay, thank you. It's a public.
Any people like I do.
Okay. But this is what I wanted to. These are the only two things this could possibly legitimately be about. One is the thing that I told you about this thing that he didn't know about before, that is hugely damaging between. That's hugely damaging between the FBI and Hochul personally.
Yeah.
And he just thought, this is a bridge too far, this is too toxic. I didn't want to do anything with it.
Yeah.
I never wanted it to begin with. I certainly haven't made it public. I mean, obviously, there are 100 things I could have made public, and if it made law enforcement look terrible, it would make me look better.
Yeah.
But I haven't released a thing, I haven't done an interview that I've been asked for, anything else. Now, he could have thought, holy Moses, that's too... I don't want this. And at least it'll look like I'm trying to get off. The only other thing I can think of is this. Imagine when you're in a position where I am. I don't have someone under retainer. I can't say, thank you very much, please send my files over to, Paul Cambria or somebody else. And here's the check for the $25,000 retainer, and let me know when you need more, and whatever. I'm in no position that way.
Yeah.
So if you have an attorney who has done things that were wrong or failed to do things, and you have very courteously and politely and diplomatically, and I'll give you an example. I had, when I first got Mr. Deal as an attorney, and actually he hasn't been my counsel of record since the 13th, it was the 6th of December, so I don't know what, but anyway. Every meeting I had with him, from that first week of December into the end of March, and I saw him on March 24th, I asked him at every single meeting and during almost every single telephone communication. He knew that if he would just file the paperwork to get a private investigator to go in there to verify some of what I did, so it's not just my word.
Yeah.
There was a benefactor who was over 100 years old,
okay,
who I've known for over 30 years, that was willing to give me, and I knew she would do more, but she didn't want to promise more and do less. Dear, you know that my lawyers will be against it, the foundation lawyers will be against it, the bank lawyers, the banking family, everybody will be against it. I have to have something I can hand them that's not just this lovely man I've known for 35 years, I'm sure he's okay. And it was suggested that getting some evidence from an independent party like a private investigator would be ideal to verify some of what I had told. I asked him, and she would give me $5,000, and she wouldn't even restrict it that I have to be used for the case. You need something for yourself, then fine, whatever, but it's $5,000 so you have it. And of course, you know there's no money for cases like this because the lawyers don't want to put it out of their own pocket and wait a year or two to get repaid.
Correct.
So this would have been a gift from God, and he didn't have to do anything except a 20 or 30 minute piece of paper. I didn't know that's how short it was at that time. So every single face-to-face meeting and almost every single telephone communication, please, she's 100, I said she was 102, she was 103.
Yeah.
She's 102, God bless her, her mind could go, she could die, whatever. I have very limited places where I can go, especially for something like this. Just we need to get the investigator in there. All of December, all of January, all of February. When she died in the middle of March, I didn't tell him. I just kept asking. He filed it in April. We had the approval in a couple of weeks. We had the evidence a week after that. That. Like 3 weeks from filing to when we had it, or less than a month in our hands.
Yeah.
I found out from him later on, oh, to file a thing like that, he said, takes about half an hour, takes about 20 minutes, takes less than half an hour. You know, very short, very quick.
Yeah.
Please, I'm begging you, file it. Month after month, wouldn't file it. She dies, he files it.
Hmm.
So when you're in a situation like me where I can't say, thank you, Mr. Cambry, I've decided to see counsel elsewhere, pick up my file and have the driver take me to somebody else, how do you say that politely and diplomatically, like, you know, this is hurting me? When we went to court on January 21st of last year, he had spoken to me, this alleged violation hearing, which was a joke. I didn't do that. According to the rules that the judge had sit down, and even Marianne Mariano said, yes, that was her understanding too. I couldn't go into like a rare book repository archive and so forth, and I couldn't go into a few museums here. Fine. Pro bono, you understand. A benefactor provided a car, and I mean an ordinary car, for me to be taken to Corning, New York, in agony, so I could have my brain squeezed for 3 hours to try and help one of the major cultural institutions there. I received no fee, it was just the transportation and like $10 or $12 in a coffee shop, okay? And then transported back. Oh, I went somewhere I wasn't supposed to go, okay? I didn't. That was, and Mr. DiGiacomo was trying to get me snagged and detained. Okay? So, Mr. Deal and I are talking, and we're saying, he tells me this on a Sunday evening. He just got notification and evidently arrived at his office, like, at the end of the day, Friday. He's calling me on Sunday evening. I'm saying, oh, my God, I can't believe this. And everything. I said, I have letters of appreciation from this place, and thank you for helping us, and I didn't go anywhere I wasn't supposed to, because I know, even if I'm doing something pro bono, I can't go where I'm not supposed to go.
Yeah.
I didn't. I met them in a coffee shop, so I couldn't do anything wrong, okay? And do you want, you know, I have letters from museums and so forth, do you want copies of those, you can show them to the judge. So he and I spoke on Sunday evening, he and I spoke on Monday afternoon after he found out what the nature of the alleged violation was. We spoke again at length on the Wednesday or the Thursday. The following Monday was Martin Luther King Day, and he was in the office, and I went for a face-to-face. And he's promising me, even at the end of our meeting, he's saying, I promise you, I'll make the judge listen. I said, you'll make him listen?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't expect him to be able to.
Yeah.
But Judge Schrader was perfectly reasonable. I mean, he didn't shut down my lawyer ever.
Well,
and he didn't shut down Mr. DiGiacomo either. The moment comes, We're in court the next day, the Tuesday, and all of the things that he said he would bring before the judge.
He did.
Not one.
Yeah.
Now, I was very upset, as you can imagine. Yeah. Like, I'm supposed to sit there while the carving knives are coming at me, okay? I talked to him, and he says, well, that's okay, we can, and that's when all of my privileges were taken, and I could travel anywhere. Now, you can't leave Erie County. And you can't even go to an ordinary little public library that doesn't own anything to use a computer. So I can't do anything for my case.
Yeah.
I can't even go to a private home, say on Chapin Parkway, where there might be a few nice books in the library or a decent picture on the wall, because I can't go anywhere. Technically, I'd be in violation taking my mother to her doctor's office waiting room because there are a couple of fakey watercolors on the wall.
Yeah.
Because he said, nowhere there's art, nowhere there's geological specimens. Okay? So that means if a probation officer is wearing a diamond engagement ring, that's a geological specimen. I can't get near her either, right? The order was unbelievable.
Yeah.
He says to me, he'll file a new one and whatever. That was the 22nd of January. 5 to 10 times per month. January, February, March, April, May, June, July, and now into August. Please, when can we file it? I can't work on my case. Yeah. I can't even use a computer. Finally, the second week of August, he says, get to work drafting blah, 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 because I did a lot of the drafting of letters and motions. But he said, that's what's killing me and I can't spend time on is the drafting. So I would, some of it he used my stuff verbatim, some of it he tossed, some of it 50-50, whatever, but I at least had always at least 85% of a good draft for him to start from. And he's, so finally the second week of August, all those months, and he says, let's work on the motion, get together, whatever, I'd like to be able to file it in the next few weeks. That is from January 21st to, and the thing was filed in September. The new, all those months has waited. All those months I couldn't go anywhere.
That happens with a lot of attorneys.
But I'm just simply saying, first, he gets me into a terrible position. Because everything he said he would do in court in January, all the things about my good works and who speaks for me and so forth, and in 36 years of being around billions of dollars, literally,
yeah.
Oftentimes of small portable things, jewelry, a gold snuff box, a loose gemstone, whatever it might be, not one institution, not one library, not one archive, not one museum, and they were trying to find anybody. I told you, they called some place that I hadn't been in 25 years.
Yeah.
And not one place would say even, you know, the week he was here, nothing. So what more can you give more than perfection? That means up until this started, it was perfection for 36 years. What more is there than that? If that doesn't deserve the benefit of the doubt, then who could come in with more? All right? But the point is, how do you, in my position, talk to your lawyer